Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca.
Hello, praise the Lord. Greetings from Mexico. Everybody down there said, say hi to all the churches I go to. So I did my duty. Hi. It's great to be here in Bethel tonight. First time for me to speak in this church. I'm originally from Canada, Saskatchewan. And I grew up in Prince Albert. My dad was a preacher. And my mom was a preacher, too. But I grew up in, and as Brother Charles said, God called me into missions at 5 years of age. I was sitting in a service like this, and I don't know if y'all know who Brother Milford Kirkpatrick is. I know Sheldon knows him. And Brother Milford was in our church, and he was showing slides from Malaysia, Singapore, Mexico, wherever. I mean, those slides, those little, for you that are younger, they're little tiny things that they threw on the wall, and no videos at that time. But I sat there in the service, and my heart was moved, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, one day, that's going to be you. You're going to come back to your country, and you're going to tell what I am doing in other parts of the world. And I went home, and I told my mother and my father after church that night, I'm going to be a missionary or a missionary evangelist. And my mother, who was Norwegian, so that's in my blood too, but she said, Uftano, forget it. They're going to eat you. And I said, oh, well, if that's what God's plan is, but I think if God calls me someplace, he's going to watch over me until my time is to go in his presence. And so I thank God because I started in ministry at a young age, went to Bible school, and started working in the country of Mexico and knew right away that that's what God wanted for me. I can go into a lot of detail, but time is short. But I'm thankful that now it's over 40 years, and I'm still there. I've traveled in 22 countries of the world preaching the gospel, always thinking, maybe, just maybe I'll go to this other country. Maybe God will take me someplace else. And people would invite me, come start a Bible school here. Come work in our area here. It's hard here. Come here. And God say, go right back where you were. And so that's what I've been doing. But I'm glad tonight that I'm excited about Jesus. There's no life like serving God. And there's no life like being obedient to God. It's one thing to serve God and just go to church and do whatever. But when God begins to speak to your heart, and if you don't obey, you're going to be the most miserable person on earth. But when you say yes to him, it's worth it all. I've had struggles. I never got married. No problem there. But I never got married. And some people say, how did you do it? It was God. God's helped me every step of the way. I've started over 40 churches in the time I've been down there. Started a Bible school. And we've had a lot of obstacles. But my God is faithful. Can I just tell you one story? And I'm going to get Elizabeth to come up here in a second. She's traveling with me from Mexico. She is a pastor. She is also my right-hand person at the Bible school. When I have to travel to other parts of Mexico, she's there making sure everybody does what they're supposed to and filling in all the gaps. So I appreciate her. She's a teacher, a preacher, pastor, and so I'm glad she could be here. But I just want to tell you something that happened in my life. As they were saying, I train other people. I love to go into unreached areas. I love to go where the gospel has not been preached. And when the pastors would say to me, if I go preach in their church and they say, sister, we want to go to this area, but it is so hard, and they've told us that they would kill us, but we want you to go. Free sacrifice. So I get in there, and I was taking a group of young people from Reynosa, Mexico, and we went to the Huasteca, which is known as a native Indian area for that region. Now what? There's a whole bunch of different Indian tribes down there, but now what? And Thinic is the main ones we work with. And we went up into this village that was so hard to the gospel. There was 13 of us. And I send them out two by two. So 6 times 2 is 12. So that left me by myself. And I said, okay. I'd sent them all down all these streets. I said, okay, I'll go down this one little trail, this one little road, and it was kind of dusty. And the temperature was probably, I think it was 115 Fahrenheit, so I don't know what that is, Celsius, maybe 50-something Celsius. It was hot. It was dusty. It was dry. It hadn't rained forever. And I got walking down that road, and there I came upon, you know, I'd go inviting them to church. We're going to have a service out under the trees. That's how we normally start. I invite you. Tell them something about the Lord. I got to this one house, and there was this lady that looked just as if you have ever watched any kind of show that had a witch in it or saw it in a storybook as a kid. This lady just looked like that. Long, straggly gray hair, no teeth in front, and she looked at me and she said, "Your God is not as strong as my God. Why don't you come in and talk about this?" And I went inside, and of course I sat down outside, but inside her little fence, because all the yards are fenced. And I sat in this chair, and she said, "Do you like," and she said the word, and I didn't know what that word was. It wasn't a word I was used to. And she said, "Are you thirsty?" And I said, "Yes." So she said, "Well, I'll just make a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I just put some of this and this and this." And while she went in her hut to make it, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "It's a potion to kill you." Because we'd been talking a little bit about God. And she said the devil was stronger than God. And we had this dialogue going back and forth. And as she brought it out, she brought out a Tupperware glass that, though Lord only knows where she found, a green, old, long, big, tall Tupperware glass in the backwoods of Mexico. But it's about this big. And it was full, and it had junk floating on the top of it. And I looked around me, and there was dirt, and it was dusty, and I couldn't spill it out without her knowing. But I remembered the scripture verse. What do you think it was? If you drink any deadly thing, it shall what? Not hurt you, not harm you. And I said, "Lord, in your name, let it be a sign to her." And I drank that thing down till it was about this much from the bottom. And when I got down there, I said, "Thank you. That's all I can handle right now. Thank you." And I handed it back. I said, "I invite you to come to the service." She said, "We'll see about that." So I went on my way and went back, and I got to where we were, the people that had, what do you say in English, loaned us their yard, said you could use the yard for service. And I got back there and I said, "What's this word?" And I told them, "You went to the witch's house. She is the strongest witch within 3 or 4 hours around here. They come for hours to get spells. She gave you a potion to kill you. Lay down, you're going to die." Of course, you have to understand, these folks weren't Christians. They had no clue what was going on. And so I said, "I'm okay. No, no, no. Sit down, lay down." And I imagine how Paul felt when he got to that island and, you know, the viper came out of the snake, came up out of the fire and bit him. And they said, "Oh, he's going to die." And they just looked at him like, because that's the way these people looked at me. "She's going to die any second." I said, "No, I'm not going to die. God's got a plan." I'm here to tell you, that woman was in the shadows that night at the service. And before she died, she gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a church there today. And she died and is in glory today because we had the courage to walk down there and go to her place. See, sometimes, I don't know, we never know what's going to happen, but I love God, and I know that he has proved over and over and over 40 years that he's real. He is real. I can't doubt him. I could stand up here, and I know time is limited, but I could stand up here and tell you all kinds of stories what God has done. True stories. They really happen. Things that really go on. But what I want you to know today, doesn't matter what we're going through, God can come through in an instant when you least expect him and can turn things around. As he's done it for me over and over again. Elizabeth, si puedes pasar. I'm going to ask Elizabeth to come up and say something here. Greet you. I guess I have to interpret, though. Who speaks Spanish? We have some Spanish speakers. Ah, qué bueno. Okay.
Dios les bendiga.
God bless you.
Es una bendición estar aquí con ustedes.
It's a blessing for me to be here with y'all. To meet you. Even though we can't communicate with each other. But we are in the same spirit. And we are the part of the family of God. Thanks to the Lord that he called me into the ministry as a young teenager. I am pastoring a church there in Mexico. It hasn't been easy. But as Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. And that's what we're doing, preaching the word of God. I rejoice to see your country that's so blessed. You have security here. We don't have that kind of security in Mexico. There's so much insecurity. We see people dying all the time,
día a día,
day after day.
Pero a pesar de eso,
but in spite of that,
seguimos adelante,
we are continuing to go forward,
predicando la palabra de Dios,
preaching the word of God,
porque él nos ayuda,
because he helps us.
Está con nosotros,
he is with us.
No importa la circunstancia,
it doesn't matter what the circumstances
el problema
are,
que podamos pasar,
whatever problem we're facing,
porque él ha prometido estar con nosotros,
because he's promised that he would be with us.
Así como le dijo Josué,
as he said to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage.
No temas ni desmayes.
Don't be afraid, ni be discouraged.
Porque yo estaré contigo.
I am with you wherever you go. God bless you. Okay. I'm thankful she could come with me today on this trip. It's her first time in Canada. He's alive. He's real. He's able to transform. He's able to change lives. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for him tonight. Like I said, 40 years in Mexico, from Canada, didn't have a whole lot of clue where I was going or how it was going to happen, but God made a way, and he let me know I was where I was supposed to be. And so I'm thankful for the Lord tonight. I want to read a scripture, and maybe I'll talk a little bit more about some things. But I want to read a scripture from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, a very familiar portion of scripture. Matthew chapter 5. Verses 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And one other scripture, John chapter 8, and I believe it's verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Lord, I thank you tonight for your presence that I feel in this house. God, I thank you for each and every one that is here. You know every heart. You know every life. God, you know the needs. Lord, I pray, God, that you will help us, oh Lord, to be that person which you would have us to be. God, that you will reach down and you will touch, oh Lord, even that one that is discouraged tonight. God, that one that's going through a struggle and doesn't know what to do. Lord, help them to reach out to you and say, Lord, I need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus is the light of the world. His light shines in us, through us, out of us, to touch a lost and dying world. I love missions. You know, you have to be if you're a missionary. You better love missions. I know a few of them that didn't, and they're not there anymore. But God has called each and every one of us to be missionaries. I remember in Bible school, a preacher came by and he said, and it always stuck in my head because he says, God's given us two hands. One to receive with and one to give with. He says, every one of us are called to be a missionary. Some are goers and some are senders, but you better be one of the two. And I said, God, help me to be what you want me to be, wherever you would have me to go. I walked into a village, another one of those issues where I went to preach, and the pastor says, our heart goes out to these people up in the mountains, and we can't go there because they'll kill us. But you're a woman. And I was about maybe 21, 22 at the time. They said, you can go there. You have to drive your car and park it and then walk up the mountain, and it'll be a few hours walk, but you'll come to that village. You go and preach Jesus to them. So I can't remember if I had a guitar or an accordion, but I loaded it on my back, Bibles, New Testaments, tracts, and I took off up this mountain. Took my little old 79 diesel rabbit that I had at the time, drove it as far as I could, and then walked up the rest of the way. And it's never happened to me since, in all my years of pioneer evangelism, but that time there were two people sitting at the entrance of the village, one on this side and one on that side, with big old rifles. I don't know if they were AK-47s or what, but they were huge things. And they said, because I always believed in friendship evangelism, and they looked at me and they said, who are you and what are you here for? And I went, my name is Glenda. I'm here to tell you about Jesus. And I invite you, you're going to hear the music. You're going to hear a service. I don't know where, but I'm going to find somebody that's going to let me use their yard. And I'm going to have a service, and I invite you to come. And they looked at me, and they looked at each other. They said, you come back again, and we'll kill you. I said, thank you, Jesus. It's not today. And I remember I walked in, they let me through, and I walked in down the path, found a little lady, got to talking to her, and she says, well, if you want to, you know, play some music or do something here, fine. So that's what I did. I had a service in that person's yard. And the people gathered, because there's not a whole lot happening, so, you know, up in those villages, there's not a whole lot that happens. But so they heard the music, and everybody started coming. And I got to share Jesus with these people. And at the end of the service, when I was going to give the altar call, I looked in the back, and there were those two men. Tears running down their face. And when I gave the altar call, they responded. And they asked Jesus to come into their hearts. The Lord saved him. He filled him with the Holy Ghost that day. That village was open up to the gospel. And I'm here to say, God keeps working and moving. He's just looking for people that are available. He's looking for those that are available. It's not always easy. But, oh, it's so fun when you see people's lives changed. It's so fun when you see that Jesus light come on in their lives. And you know it's not in vain. The scripture that we read, sorry, I kind of walk. I have a hard time standing in one place. I get points off for that, right, in Bible school. Jesus was teaching, and he said, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. If you've ever driven around here on the prairies, you know that if all of a sudden you come to a city, you're going to notice those lights at night. That's the way we are. Our lives should be shining for Jesus. But are we really shining? Are we really letting his light shine? Are we letting his light shine in and through us? I remember there was an evangelist in Canada. Well, I mean Canada, but that had come to Alberta when I was staying at my cousin's house. And he told the story, and it's always stuck with me, that his child was afraid of the dark. And they didn't know what to do with this boy because he was afraid of the dark. And at that time, I don't think they have these things anymore, but at that time, you could go to the Christian bookstore and find a little nightlight that had the sculpture head of Jesus. So they went and got the Jesus nightlight, and they put it in his bedroom. And they said, "Are you afraid now, son?" "Oh, no, Jesus' light is on. Everything's okay. Jesus is with me." And I always thought of that. I said, Jesus is with me, but is his light really shining from me? So tonight, my question is, okay, I know Jesus is alive. I know he's real. I know his love is wanting to shine out through us. I know he wants to use each and every one of us. But have we turned his light on in our lives? Have we turned that light on? Is his light switch really on in our hearts? See, some of us, we only flip the switch when we walk into church on Sunday morning. We flip that switch and, oh, Pastor, God bless you. And we put on the greatest Christian smile we can. And we're, oh, brother, oh, sister. And the minute we walk out the door, we flip that switch off. And the rest of the week, nobody sees that Jesus light in us. They say, as we would say in Mexico, a poco, van a Bethel. Do they really go to Bethel? Why? Because sometimes the things of this world can clog us to keep that Jesus light from coming out. But God wants us to shine our light. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15 says, well, let's, verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, not getting into trouble. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, I would say our nation's getting crooked and more perverse all the time. But then it says, among whom ye shine as what? Lights in the world. See, it doesn't matter what Canada's going like if we would stand up and shine our light. It doesn't matter how evil Mexico is. We just need a few more lights to shine for him. We just need people that are dedicated, not just in church, but when they walk out the doors, 24/7 are letting the Jesus light shine through them. People watch us. One light can make a difference. Years ago, I was in the country of Belize, and I felt impressed to go from Belize, from Belmopan, out into this jungle area. I said, let's just see if there's a little village of people back there. I just feel like there's a village of people back there. And we cut through the jungle, and sure enough, there was some Guatemalan refugees that had come. And they had little houses, little huts, and we began to witness to them. We had a service that night. They built a little tiny stick church in our time that we were there, but there was no power there. And walking through the jungle at night was very dangerous. You didn't know whether you were to sing, speak, or not do anything. See, most of the time, if you were to sing, you'd chase the panthers away and whatever else was there. But if you made a noise, there was a snake. Sheldon, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's called the Tomagoff snake. Do you remember those? They're green snakes. And, I mean, we ran over a few of them when we were driving down the road. Some of them would be about this big. And they would chase you if you made a noise. So you'd sing and talk to keep away the black panthers or whatever. And you'd try to be quiet so that the Tomagoffs didn't get you. And it wasn't so bad. The big ones weren't as bad. They were venomous, but you could suck their venom out. It was the little ones you had to be afraid of because you couldn't find where the marks went in. But this night, we were preaching, and all we had was a little baby jar filled with oil and a little wick in it. And that's what we had to scrunch our eyes to try to read the Bible and preach. And the Lord put it on my heart, and I've never been one that has tons of money, but the Lord said, give the money you've got with you to this man to go and buy a lantern. So I did. I said, somehow go and buy a lantern or take this as a seed and see what. So they went and they sold a couple chickens and they got enough money plus what I'd given them to buy a lantern. The next night we come to church, and with that little oil that was just so small you couldn't hardly see anything inside the church. But all of a sudden they had one lantern. And as we're walking through that jungle and getting closer, all of a sudden it looked like the whole jungle lit up. And I said, man, they must have got 10 lanterns. It looks like every house has a lantern. It's so bright. No, it was just that one lantern. Just that one light. But it made such a difference. Why? Because that lantern, como se dice, shooed away, scared off the darkness. What am I here to say? When we know Jesus Christ and he is alive and real and we're walking living testimonies of him, our light should be shining, and it doesn't matter how much darkness is out there, we can make a difference. You can make a difference in Brandon, Winnipeg, wherever you're from. It's good to have some friends from Winnipeg. I hadn't seen them in 30, 40, 50 years, some of them. But hallelujah. But it is, we can shine our light for Jesus. The world needs to see Jesus in us. You maybe think you can't make a difference. But if we put that light on daily, something happens. I grew up in Saskatchewan. We didn't have a whole lot of money. We didn't get indoor plumbing until it was about time for me to leave home. A lot of times we had, what do you, lamparas de aceite, kerosene lanterns in the state, cola lanterns. Anybody know what that is? Woo! People in my age group. Cola lanterns. I mean, that's what we had. And I remember going out to my grandparents' farm, my grandma's farm, and that's all we had was cola lanterns. But there was something about that cola lantern. You had to take care of that lamp. You had to take care of it. Now, somebody can probably help me out on some of this because I can't quite remember. It's been a long. I still use one down in Mexico, by the way. Every time the lights go out, which is quite often, and stay off for 3 or 4 days, I'm thankful for a cola lantern. But that cola lantern, it's a lamp. And it's got a little, what do we call the thing on top? The globe? The chimney? Chimney? Okay. Chimney. If you're not careful and you get the wick going burning too high and you haven't cleaned the wick, what happens? soot comes. It gets all black. And you might have a lantern, but there you are. You've got a lantern, but you can't see anything out of it. And you're looking, oh, yeah, it's a little bit of light, but it's not a whole lot of light. Why? Because we have to clean that globe, that chimney, that top part. We have to clean it. And that's the way with our lives. Many times in our life, things come in. Things come in that would like to dirty up our lives. Sometimes it's things from outside, temptations, and we give in to them. Sometimes it's things that are hidden sins, and we don't take care of them. And before we know it, that globe, that chimney gets dirtier and dirtier. But there's something else I want to tell you tonight about that coil of lantern. The wick is that thing that you goes into the oil. You got to soak the wick in the oil before you light it for it to shine. Am I right? If you don't soak the wick in the oil, you're not going to get much of a light. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. For us to shine brightly, we have to get full of the Holy Ghost. We have to be filled with God. We have to just get soaked in His presence. When that wick is soaked in that oil, it produces the brightest light. We trim the wick so that we can get a brighter light. On that wick, there gets soot, there gets coal, there gets just junk that tends to hang on there. And if we don't cut it off, pretty soon we find that we're not getting a very bright light. Or it's just clouding up, messing up the chimney on top. I don't want anything to come between me and God. I don't want anything to hinder His light from shining through me. I want His light to be present in my life every day, wherever I go. If it's Canada, United States, Mexico, Guatemala, Belize, overseas, anywhere you can name, I want His light to shine. We are living epistles, living letters. In other words, that's the only Bible some folks read is you. How are you doing? How are we doing? How are we portraying Jesus to a world that's lost? Are we showing them that Jesus loves them and wants to save them, deliver them, and set them free? We have a story to tell. But first of all, we many times need to say, clean me. The psalmist David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, if you have to, you just clean all the junk that crowds my chimney. Take out that soot. Take it all out, God. I just want to be pure and whole before you. I want to be shining for you. I want that when people can look and see, they see Jesus. We used to sing an old chorus, and we sing it in Spanish, we sing it in English. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like Him. All through, how does it go in English? Life's journey from earth to glory. All I ask is to be like Him. Ser como Cristo, ser como Cristo. That should be our desire. So many times we look at the world and we have actors, actresses, singers, and we look and we say, oh, if I could just be like them. Oh, if I could just be like them. But you know what? They're not letting their light shine for Jesus. We should be saying, Lord, I want to be like you. More of you, less of me. We have the Bible school up there in Bustamante, Tamaulipas, in a little town. And my purpose in putting the Bible school there was there were a whole lot of unreached villages in that area. I'm here to tell you, thank God, and thankful for the work of the Bible school students and all of us that have been working within a 2 to 3 hour radius of that Bible school. There is not a village that is untouched with the gospel. But I told them, you have to let Jesus shine. Yeah, we have problems down there. Our town is a whole big whopping 1,200 people. We have water a half hour a day, except at the Bible school. We only get it every 3 days. And you have to get out, and you have to fill the water tanks, the water jugs, anything you want for washing, cooking, bathing, or drinking. And yes, I drink their water. And we get that filled, and we pray the water comes the next day. The village where Elizabeth is from, they have no water. They depend on rain, or if perchance our village will bring over a tank of water. Can I just tell you something? We had a fellowship meeting in one of those villages over by where she lives. And people were complaining because it hadn't rained. And you farmers know how it is. You got to depend on the rain to till the soil, to plant the seed, so the crop can grow. There was no rain, so that meant their main staple of corn was not planted, which meant they didn't have a harvest, which meant there was nothing to eat. They eat rice and beans, but they have tortillas. They fill up on tortillas. You might get a spoonful of rice and beans, a small spoon, and then they'll put about 10 tortillas on your plate, and that's what you eat. That's what you fill up with. You don't eat, you know, we're so blessed. We go to the restaurant or we go to a house, and they serve us a big, huge plate of food. And that might fill a family for all week of four. But at this fellowship meeting, it touched my heart. Because they were telling me after the service, before we ate lunch, they said, you know, we haven't had any tortillas. We haven't had a chance to, we don't have any money to buy the corn to make the tortillas. And I was in a rough spot and I didn't have money. And we ate lunch and a little girl was sitting there and the food tipped over onto the ground. And everybody freaked out because her plate flipped over. And the mother picked up that food and put it back on the plate and says, we got to eat it because that's all we've got. During that meal, three people had food fall. If they were eaten in a drop of rice or something else, they picked it up with their hands and threw it in their mouth, even though it was in the dirt, because they were hungry. We don't know how blessed we're at. We don't know how blessed we are. I said, God, help us to be a light. Help us to be a light. Help us to reach out. It's all about serving Him. It's nothing for our own glory. It's nothing for people to see us. People will come and people will go. But let them see Jesus in us. If you never remember my name, just remember somebody that loves Jesus came from Mexico. I want you to know that Jesus is able to touch every need you have in your life. I have seen Him do wonderful miracles. I have seen, and I told time's getting away with me, so I'm gonna quit right here. But we have to let our light shine for Him. And whatever you are going through, know tonight that He is the one that can help us. What hinders the light? What will hinder our light? Sin. Habits, sometimes attitudes, hinder the light. Shadows can hinder a light. Things we keep hidden can hinder our light. What does the scripture say? Don't hide your light under a bushel. Hallelujah, let it shine, let it shine. You remember that song? Y'all sing that song when you were kids? Let it shine. Let God get the glory. Let Jesus get the glory in your life. Whatever you do, wherever you go. Can we stand tonight? make him famous. It's not about you. It's not about me. I'm thankful for all God is doing in Mexico. It's really not me. I'm just a vessel. The students I teach, we teach practical ministry. We do studies. And then on the weekends, we go out and do practical ministry. But it's all about Jesus, to let him be known in this world. And I just want you to get that in your spirit tonight. Maybe there's some things that have clogged your light from shining. Maybe while I was speaking, God's been dealing with you on something that you've been hiding. Maybe nobody else knows about it. Or maybe something that you're having a temptation and you're fighting with, but God says, I want you to give it to me. I want you to give it to me. Maybe you're struggling. You just say, I need God's help tonight. Whatever situation you are going through, if you need prayer tonight, I'm here to pray for you. My God is a prayer answering God. He's a God that heals, a God that delivers, a God that sets free, and he saves. And he wants to touch our hearts and our lives. We're going to pray, and the orchestra is going to play something. But if you need prayer, come on up here tonight. Right? While they're singing and while we're praying, just feel free to come on up. Amen. Lord, we love you tonight. Oh, God, I'm thankful. I thank you, Lord, because you are a faithful God. You never change. You see every heart. You see every life. God, you see every young person, every older person here tonight. God, you know what's happened in the past, but you are a God of good tomorrows, and we can trust you. But Lord, we're here tonight, and we say, cleanse us. Make us into what you would have us to be. Help us to be that person that you could shine through. Lord, that we can make a difference in our neighborhood, in our city, in our country, in our world. Lord, let your light shine in each and every heart, oh God. We surrender to you tonight. We surrender to you. We thank you, Lord. You are the God that doesn't change. You are the God that is able to help in every situation. Lord, I pray you will help, oh God. Lord, maybe there's someone here tonight that, God, just as I was called at 5 years of age, maybe you're speaking to their heart and you're calling them tonight. Doesn't matter the age, God. You're the God that doesn't change, and you're able to help. God, I pray that they will have the courage to say yes to you, and God, they will follow through with that. And Lord, that they will let their lives be used of you wherever they go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.